Election Day is just over a week away. One of your biggest choices, if you've not already cast your ballot, is to decide who's going to serve the next 4 years as governor of Ohio. Today, you get to hear from the Democratic candidate, Richard Cordray. Mr. Cordray's visit follows last week's show with Republican candidate Mike DeWine. What are the biggest issues facing Ohioans? How are they going to be handled? You're going to hear what Richard Cordray has to say today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
Today brings to a close, at least for this year, a tradition here on Town Hall Ohio. Every 4 years, Ohio Farm Bureau gets to host the candidates for statewide office. Those include the candidates for auditor, treasurer, secretary of state, and attorney general, plus the candidates for the United States Senate. We always save the gubernatorial candidates for the end. Mike DeWine and Richard Cordray both agreed to do the show, and by virtue of a coin toss, Mr. DeWine's version aired last week. That leaves Mr. Cordray for today. As a reminder of how this all worked, the candidates came into our offices separately. Previous to that, they had been provided the same list of topics and how much time they'd have to address each subject. And then any editing that I've done was to make the show fit the scheduled length, and I did not edit any content or change it in any way. With that, let's get started with our chat with Richard Cordray. So if we could, Mr. Cordray, just to get us started, a couple of minutes, introduce yourself to all of our listeners, please.
Sure. I'm Rich Cordray. I was born and raised in Central Ohio in Jackson Township, Franklin County. I live in Pleasant Township, Franklin County now, you know, somewhat more rural area. I grew up and went through the public schools in Grove City and then went off to school, worked in Washington for a couple of years, came back and started practicing law, teaching law at Ohio State, and got myself into politics, elected to the state legislature was my first office. For the last number of years, I served in state office as the state treasurer, minding our money, and the state attorney general, helping restore our pension systems after Wall Street abused them in the financial crash. I served as the head of the U.S. Consumer Bureau in Washington, D.C. For the last 6 years, and I'm back now running for governor. And the issues that I'm concerned about focus on the economic issues affecting people and their families, not only farm families, but families across the state. It's access to affordable health care. It's concern about education and training for themselves and their children. And it is concern about spreading out opportunity across the state so that nobody is left out or left behind. And there's a lot of communities that continue to feel left out, left behind, and that they have a voice that's not heard or respected in Columbus. And I think the agricultural community feels that as much as anyone. So I'm looking forward to working with people on these issues.
As you talk about your big picture philosophy, what in your view is the proper role of government in the daily lives of Ohioans and Americans, please?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think that government is the solution to any particular problem, nor do I think government has to be the problem itself, although sometimes it has been. What I have seen is that in government, you should be a partner with local communities, helping to understand and listen to them and work together to solve problems. That's how we addressed the foreclosure crisis back 10 years ago when I was state treasurer and a lot of people were in danger of losing their homes or losing their farms. And there was a lot of bad predatory lending going on in Ohio. We brought people together. I was the state treasurer then, and we brought together local officials. We brought together great nonprofit groups that were helping, and we brought people from the private sector who saw a problem and wanted to fix it. I think we could do the same thing right now on the opioid crisis. I think we could do the same thing right now on the issues facing a lot of farmers in the state who are being squeezed very badly right now, and it seems like nobody in Washington or Columbus is listening to their issues and their concerns. Back when we dealt with the foreclosure crisis and brought people together, we saved tens of thousands of people's homes and farms. And when I was the state treasurer, we had the AgLink program, which provided low-cost financing to farmers across the state, which helped them in the spring. They came to rely on that, and it was a program that was a fair program. It was low-cost financing. You still had to manage your own responsibilities, but it was helpful. And again, state government that would be a partner and a listening partner and an active partner would help us solve some of these issues, like the impairment issue in Lake Erie, where we need to bring everybody to the table and give everybody a voice. And we haven't done that to date.
Richard Cordray is the Democratic candidate for Ohio governor. As governor, you're going to have a million jobs, but if you had to, if you had to prioritize the top three or four primary functions of the office you would like to hold, what are those top most important functions of being the governor of Ohio?
I think, first of all, the governor has to be a leader for the state. They have to be someone who shows that they can step up to and willing to face up to and deal with the challenges that we have here in Ohio. I think that the record of my opponent over the last 8 years, he's ducked a lot of problems. He has been missing in action on the opioid crisis, although now 7 years into his tenure, he suddenly has a plan. Where was that plan 5 years ago? I will be a leader from day one. We will work to solve problems. We will bring people together. And that starts with economic opportunity across the state. That's what people want. People want to be able to stand on their own 2 feet and know that we have the right framework, and farmers most of all. Nobody wants to be relying on trade assistance, one-time assistance from Washington, D.C. People want to be able to have steady markets that they know they can sell their production, and farmers have worked hard to open these markets and sustain them over time. So issues of economic opportunity are huge. Then the challenges that we face around the state on a local basis, like the opioid crisis, infrastructure, like education and training. Those are places where the state can partner with local government, but it has to lead, has to bring people together, and it has to get people working together. And I think we can do a much better job on that.
Tell us a little bit about your running mate, how you went about selecting her, what she might bring to the job, and what the important qualifications are to serve as a lieutenant governor.
My running mate is Betty Sutton. I think the most important qualification there is someone who could step into and serve as governor if needed, and I'm quite confident she could do that. She was an official in county government and city government. She was in the General Assembly until she was term limited. She was in the Congress for 3 terms, and she worked on issues that mattered to Ohio. She had the Cash for Clunkers bill that helped save the auto industry when it was on its back, and it would have hurt this economy here tremendously. She worked on making sure people with pre-existing conditions had protection, and that's almost 5 million Ohioans who have a pre-existing condition. And all of us, you know, could have a diagnosis tomorrow that we didn't expect. So we all know that we're at risk for that. And she fought hard for that in the Congress. She's also somebody who makes a great impression around the state. She's very dynamic. She knows the issues, and she's willing to work hard. She's shown that throughout the campaign. She'll be in Steubenville, for example, when I'm in Toledo, or she'll be in Cleveland when I'm in Cincinnati, or vice versa. And we share the load. And I think when you share the load in the campaign and you share a lot of thoughts back and forth about what you're hearing from people and what they want to know, I think it's a great recipe for being a good partnership in the state government.
Just give us a little insight into the process that someone such as yourself goes through in selecting a running mate. Is it issues? Is it demographics? Is it personal connection? How do you make that? What's that metric?
That's a great question, and I think it's a great question in particular because it goes to what is your decision-making process as governor on hard issues like that. In our case, we put together a big group to really scour the state and look carefully at people and narrow it down and make recommendations to me, and then I would go back to them at times and want more information. We boiled it down, and we interviewed several people for the position, and again, all the things that you described, positions on issues, background and record. It was important to me to have somebody who has gotten things done themselves, as Betty Sutton has done, because that's what I do, and I wanted to reinforce that. Demographics matter. I think it's important that Betty is a woman on this ticket because there's so many women's issues at stake this year, and she brings a strong perspective on that. Region of the state, all those things matter. But she was a great pick, the obvious pick in the end, it seemed to me. And she's proven to be a great partner to me, just as I'd hoped.
We're going to drill down on some specific economic issues, but for the next two or three minutes, if you would, Mr. Cordray, talk broadly about the state of the Ohio economy, how we got where we are, what's going well, what's not going well, just kind of your 30,000-foot view of the Ohio economy, please.
Sure, and as you're around the state, you hear a lot from people about the real life side of things, not just the numbers. The numbers on the economy are pretty good right now. The unemployment average is low. The stock market average is high. But what I see as I go around the state is that people don't live their lives in the averages. They live them in their families and in their communities. And there's a lot of economic concern. A lot of people are concerned about stagnant wages, whereas healthcare costs seem to keep rising, and the cost of education continues to rise. So there's a lot of concern there. People feel squeezed, and I think farmers right now are feeling squeezed as much as anyone, especially with the prices being uncertain in the wake of what's happening with the markets. And I think sometimes what I hear around the state is that farmers feel that nobody's listening to them in Washington or Columbus. And so I would say it's a good year to register a protest vote and try to wake people up and say, hey, you need to pay a little more attention to our situation here. You need to recognize what's happening with some of these policies that you may or may not intend, but this is really what's happening to us out here. And as we think about things like cleaning up some of the problems like the Lake Erie impairment, we got to bring farmers to the table. They got to be part of the solution. We can't cram this down from Columbus or Washington. We've got to bring everybody together, and there's got to be help and assistance to get some of these things done. But I would say that although the overall economy is good in a lot of ways, a lot of people have a lot of concern, and there's a lot of economic anxiety, particularly around healthcare around the state.
How much control over these issues will you have as governor? So many of these things are gigantic picture influences on our daily lives.
Well, that's a good point. It's necessary to be a little humble. It's not that we can be czar or dictator of anything. There's so many moving parts in our society. And as I said, government should be part of the solution. It should help convene people, bring them together, and be a leader. But it's by no means the sole answer to any given problem. But what I will say is there are things that you can do as a leader in this state. And that's where you can exert your influence on what happens and help lead and direct others and give them an example and push them in the right direction. And I think it's important to exert that leadership. But, you know, will we control everything? Will there be lots of things that will go on that we'll have to adjust to and react to? Certainly. But how you react to them, how you adjust to them matters enormously for the state of Ohio.
Richard Cordray, the Democratic candidate for Ohio governor. And so I don't get myself in trouble with, probably about half of you listening right now. His challenger, Mike DeWine, was on the show last week, and you can hear that if you'd like to go back. Visit townhallohio.org. We'll be back to chat more with Rich Cordray in a few moments. He'll talk about opioids, the economy in Ohio, education, water quality issues, civility, and a whole long list of other subjects. Rich Cordray, Democratic candidate for Ohio governor. We'll be back to hear more from him right after this. Going to be the next governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine or Richard Cordray, of course, are the two major party candidates. And, well, frankly, we've been seeing enough commercial time from both candidates that, if you haven't made up your mind, I don't blame you because commercials are no way to make up your mind. We do hope, though, that what we're doing here on Town Hall Ohio is some benefit, and that is to share in depth some of the thoughts of the primary candidates for the job. Last week was Mike DeWine's turn. This week it's Rich Cordray's. Let's get back to that conversation. He gave us a good overview of where the economy is today and some of the challenges that are facing it. So as governor, you will have some economic tools to use. You'll have some policies that you can promote. What are those going to be? What's going to be in your toolbox to help Ohioans in our overall economy?
So let's talk about how we spread opportunity across the state, because I think many communities have felt for years that it's really been concentrated in just a few areas of the state that seem to get all the goodies, and there's just crumbs and leftovers for people in rural areas and many of the small and mid-sized towns that are the heart and soul of Ohio, really. You start thinking about the Mansfields and the Limas and the Zanesvilles and the Chillicothes. You know, it's really important that they know that they have a voice at the table and that people are listening and trying to help. So how do we do that? So one thing we can do is provide better support for small businesses across the state, small and medium-sized businesses, and I would include a lot of family farms in that category. When I was state treasurer, we had low-cost financing we could provide when they had a need and they had an ability to grow. The same as I said that we did with AgLink financing in the treasurer's office, and people were very familiar with that, and it was popular and it was helpful. So that's something we can do, and that helps businesses all across the state. The local government funding has been stripped in Ohio, and that money has been taken out of our communities. It's gone to Columbus, and it hasn't been coming back to the community. And that's affecting safety services, police and fire. It's affecting the ability to fight the opioid epidemic with people on the front lines who provide the treatment and the help with that. It has affected communities, and it's affected schools. By the way, we've seen this scandal with this ECOT charter school mess that stole $186 million from you and me and Ohioans right under the nose of our current attorney general, who's my opponent in this race. He did nothing about it, and now he's scrambling to try to get that money back. And in Southern Ohio, we have a phrase for that, which is it's called locking the barn door after the horse is gone. So those are things that we could do, strengthening our local communities and community services. We could also rebuild the infrastructure of the state. We all know that we need more help with roads and bridges. We need more help with broadband access across the state, which has been promised but in many places never delivered. That's something that we will deliver on and keep that promise finally in Ohio, and it'll be helpful to farmers, and it'll be helpful to people in rural areas across the state. And I also think that spreads good jobs across Ohio because infrastructure is everywhere. We also don't have any public transit in 27 counties of Ohio, so it's difficult to get from home to work or goods to the market or get to the doctor, and that's something we can invest in more. So I think there's a number of things we can do to make sure all of Ohio participates in the broader opportunities we have here and that it's not consigned to just a few parts of the state.
Let's go a little deeper into the employee side of Ohio's economy and the workforce, whether it's current workers, future workers. Tell us some of your beliefs in terms of what we need to do to maximize quality of life and opportunity for Ohio's workforce.
Yeah, it's an important question right now. There's a phrase people use, workforce development. I actually think this is not really a partisan issue between the two campaigns this year. There is an obvious need in Ohio to strengthen our young people before they get to K through 12, before they get to kindergarten, to make sure that they're getting better opportunities and quality preschool care. And also at the other end, that people coming out of high school, if they need more training and skills, that there is a whole spectrum of flexible options available to them. Which could be skills training, and that's a lot of people in midlife having to change jobs or change careers need that help, and it needs to be flexible around their schedules and their families, or certification programs, or apprenticeship programs, or vocational education. And voc ag is you know, something that we've kind of neglected in the state over the last 10, 15 years. We could do more of that. I think with respect to farmers in particular, things like strategic help, financing help, succession planning, these are all things that are important for businesses to succeed, and I think the state could be more helpful on that. I think that if we strengthen our workforce, that is the ticket to the future for Ohio. There's a lot of companies now saying that where they locate is going to depend not so much on tax breaks, although, of course, they're always happy to pocket those when they're offered, but it's the strength of the workforce and the skills of the workforce and knowing that they can count on having that talent for years and years to come. And when we do that, when we bring businesses here, that helps us strengthen our school districts and all of the local services that our communities depend on.
You mentioned, you said better opportunities K through 12. Give me an example or two, please, while we've got about a minute here.
Sure. Well, for example, the failing charter schools like ECOT, you know, we got to get that money back into our school system. It was more than $1 billion poured down a rat hole with that one. And there's several others that need to be looked at carefully and closed if need be. And we're strengthening our public schools across the state. We can't strip money out of them for experiments that are failing us and think that we're going to have the strength we need in our communities. You know, most places around Ohio, the community is built around the local school district, built around those community events, built around the teachers and the students and the children. This is why people locate where they do, and people want to know that those things are strongly taken care of and that the money is being used wisely. Nobody likes to see taxpayer money wasted, but we've seen a lot of that happen over the last 8 years. And again, my opponent was right in the middle of all of it and did nothing to stop.
More with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Rich Cordray after this. Mr. Richard Cordray is our very special guest this week on Town Hall, Ohio. For the one or two of you who may not know, he's the Democratic candidate for Ohio governor, which you'll be voting on here in, well, just over a week or so. Mike DeWine, the Republican candidate, was our guest last week on the show, and this week we're talking with his challenger. Let's get back to that conversation with Richard Cordray on Town Hall, Ohio. You have mentioned, Mr. Cordray, the opioid crisis in Ohio. It's all over the news. It's a horrible situation. How do we get here, and as governor, what can you do to help us get out of this hole?
So this is something that you can't help but see everywhere around Ohio. When I go to any gathering of any number of people, there's always one or two or three or even more who come up and they tell kind of quiet stories. They don't want to tell it in front of the group, but about a son or daughter or about a sister and brother or even mother and father and the terrible challenges of addiction and often the lack of services, and at times people have been sentenced to prison and had to spend time there and come out, their lives are ruined. Sometimes they're abused in prison. You know, these are things that have happened. I would say that this crisis, the numbers don't lie. This blew up in the last several years. You know, back when I was Attorney General, the death toll in Ohio never reached 1,000 people, and it has tripled under Mike DeWine's watch. And he has not been effective in dealing with it. For 7 years, this problem has exploded in Ohio. I think we're going to have 4,000 deaths last year. It'll be the highest total ever. He's now got a plan, finally, but where was he with that plan when we needed the help? In my view, it comes down to several things, although the most important thing is the state being a better partner to local government on this. You can't take away the Medicaid expansion, which is helping provide substance abuse treatment and mental health treatment to 200,000 Ohioans and be serious about dealing with the opioid crisis. You can't take away local government funding, which is substance abuse treatment, and be serious about dealing with this crisis, but that's what he would propose. And what we need to do is work with law enforcement to keep the most dangerous drugs off our streets, especially fentanyl, work to crack down on the overprescription of painkillers, which were allowed to run riot in this state, and work with local service providers to make sure we have substance abuse treatment to help people out of this problem, which takes some time and effort. You know, it's not just a blink of an eye and somebody's fixed. It takes time, it takes sustained effort, and families need support to do that.
More broadly in the whole healthcare arena, what should be Ohio's priorities, and as governor, what steps will you take to assure we have adequate, affordable healthcare?
On healthcare, as on so many issues, I think that the governor's job and my job, as I see it, will be to help put money back in the pockets of Ohioans. So on healthcare, a key thing is to work to reduce costs and to make sure that we provide as reliable coverage to as many Ohioans as we can. And in terms of reducing costs, we've not done a good job on that over the past number of years. We've had prescription drug prices go sky high. And the state can use its leverage to negotiate better pricing through our state programs and have an effect on those who do business with the state. The pharmacy benefit managers, we're starting to see that they have really abused the system. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been wasted there. The state government is finally waking up to the fact that, as the workers' comp administrator said, we were getting hosed. Again, it's bad government to fail to see these things until it's too late. And hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars have been wasted or misallocated. We need to be on top of these things from the beginning. And I would also say that in terms of reducing costs, making sure the Medicaid expansion is intact is going to help us keep rural hospitals open, who will otherwise be in danger of closing. We'll have to go even farther to get our health care. It gets people into the system so they get diagnostic treatment and they don't end up coming into our emergency rooms with expensive problems later in life, with worse health outcomes, so that we all end up paying in, through our premiums for that uncompensated care. So there's a lot of things we can do to protect Ohioans, protect their pocketbooks, while at the same time providing more peace of mind through a better healthcare system.
Ohioans, farmers included, all want to see clean water in Ohio. And as you know, there are challenges in that arena. What's the best approach to solving these agriculture and water quality issues?
Yeah, and let me agree with you on that. I think it's important for people to realize farmers care about this as much as anyone, because they know that they have to have sustainable practices over time. They have lived with their land in many cases for years and years, sometimes more than a century, and they want to pass that land on to their children and their grandchildren and know that everything is sustainable. I live in, as I said, Pleasant Township in Franklin County. It's in the Big Darby watershed area, which is a protected area, and yet there's a lot of farming that goes on. As long as we're careful about our practices and thoughtful about what we're doing, it all works together pretty well, and it has in the Big Darby area. Now, it hasn't in other parts of the state, and what we need to do is bring everyone to the table, including farmers. They need to have a voice. You can't cram down solutions from Columbus and think that that's the right answer. We need to listen more, and we need to bring people together, and then we need to lead on this issue. We have not done a good job of addressing the problems in Northwest Ohio, and we've not done a good job now in saying that some people will be at the table and other people won't. I think farmers need to speak out this year, and they can speak out at the ballot box and say, hey, listen to us. Let's not return the same group of people to leadership and state government. Let's have some change here. Let's have somebody who's going to pay attention to us and help us work with them to solve these problems, which need to be solved and need our attention, but they need the attention of everybody in Ohio who has a stake in it, and farmers as much as anyone.
Richard Cordray will be back right after this. We're back to wrap up our visit today with Richard Cordray, Democratic candidate for Ohio governor. We've had all of the statewide candidates on, and I'd encourage you to visit townhallohio.org, where you can hear replays of the Attorney General candidates Stephen Dettelbach and David Yost, Treasurer candidates Rob Richardson and Robert Sprague, Secretary of State candidates Kathleen Clyde and Frank LaRose, Ohio Auditor candidates Zach Space and Keith Faber, and the candidates for U.S. Senate, Sherrod Brown and Jim Renacci. Last week, we also had Mr. Mike DeWine on. He's at that Town Hall Ohio site, too, the Republican candidate for governor. But today, back to the Democratic candidate, Richard Cordray. So much of what happens in the daily lives of Ohioans is the result of what happens in Washington, D.C. As you look at the federal government and our state's relationship there, how are you going to interact with the feds to assure good things happen here in Ohio?
So as I said a moment ago, I think that if you're talking about any level of government, it is not the answer to anything, but it can be part of an answer. It can bring people together. And if it's working well with others, other partners, then I think we get things done. So if you're the state government leader, the governor of the state, you work with local governments and you work with them as a partner. And you also then work with the federal government as much as you can to be a partner. There is, as you say, a lot of policy comes down from the federal government. A lot of funding comes from there. What I will say is that when Donald Trump is right on an issue, I will support him. And when he's wrong on an issue, I will stand up to him if that means something else is better for the people of the state of Ohio. I think the contrast between me and Mike DeWine is that he has shown that he is not willing to stand up to Donald Trump, even when it matters to Ohioans, such as on health care, where he has not been willing to stand up for protecting pre-existing conditions or stand up for the Medicaid expansion, which he wants to change because he thinks it's not sustainable, even though the budget director told us recently again, it's a very good deal for Ohio. So again, I will stand up for Ohio, whatever the cost may be, and I'll take on anybody who will hurt us. And I think my opponent has shown he's not willing to do that.
So you'll work with the federal government. You also will be required to work with local governments. What's going to be the approach there?
So the approach there, as I said, is I come out of local government, and I've worked with them. I worked with them on the foreclosure crisis, reached back from the state level to say, let's partner together on this. And that was a very effective way of solving problems and saving people's homes. And I actually call that the Ohio way. It's the Ohio way to bring people to the table, to listen to one another, respect one another, and work together to solve problems. And I think that local officials across the state recognize this. They value it. They feel they've not necessarily had that partnership in recent years. The state legislature has solved a lot of problems at the state level by cramming them down onto local governments. Right now, they've been sending felony fours and fives to the county jails without appropriate funding to cover that. It makes the state look good at the expense of local government. That pits people against one another and makes it harder to solve our problems.
You had mentioned infrastructure earlier. Give us some specifics. What are the things that need to be fixed, and how can you as governor help make that happen?
Yeah, infrastructure to me is four things in particular. It's our roads and bridges, and everybody who drives on these roads and bridges, especially a candidate for statewide office, knows that they need more work. We have underground infrastructure, water and sewer projects that help us protect clean water in Ohio, and that's part of the answer to the issue that we're talking about earlier. We have access to broadband has never been seen as part of infrastructure, but everybody's promised to do this, but nobody's delivered. You know, what I have shown over my time in government is I can get results. I can push through the bureaucracy, make the state government solve problems, and be responsive to the needs people have. I did it as state treasurer. I did it as state attorney general. I did it in the federal government. I will do it as governor. We will solve this, and we will have broadband access across Ohio. And as I said, public transit, you know, we could have a dedicated source of funding for that. 25 states do, Ohio does not. We have 27 counties without public transit at all. As I said earlier, it's something that we need to think about how to address. Now, my method of financing this is to put a bond financing package on the ballot to the voters. We've done that four times in the last 30 years for infrastructure. People of Ohio are willing to invest when they know they're going to get a return on that, and they know it's going to strengthen the state. And that's how we will do this. I've done that when I was state treasurer with bonded finance. I know how that works. I know how we can match the long-term needs with the long-term financing options, and that's the right way to solve these issues.
30 seconds. What's better broadband look like in Ohio?
It means that there will be access to broadband across the state, you know, from your farm, from your home, from your business, and that will open up economic opportunity in parts of the state where it's often been denied. It's also the case that this has made the school funding differentials worse. You know, if in some parts of the state you can work on the internet at school, but you go home, you have to go to McDonald's to be able to do your homework, you know, that holds people back. It holds people back in terms of their businesses. It holds farmers back who need a lot of technological information that they draw on now in terms of futures pricing and in terms of crop rotations and in terms of how they handle the soil. Lots of things that we could do better if there was access and access to high-speed quality broadband in Ohio. And I think that that's where the future is. It's actually where the present is. And those who have it know how much difference it makes, and those who lack it are being held back.
We'll return with Richard Cordray right after this. We're back with our final pre-election show. We've been introducing you to all of the candidates for statewide office over the past few weeks. Today, we conclude things by chatting with Richard Cordray, the Democratic candidate for Ohio governor. As a reminder, his challenger, Mike DeWine, was on the show last week. His program is available for you to listen to at Town Hall Ohio, as are the shows with all of the other candidates for statewide office. And with Sherrod Brown and Jim Renacci, who both want to be elected to the United States Senate. So to close things out for this week, let's get back to our conversation with Richard Cordray. I'm going to make an assumption that you agree with this statement, that civility seems to have completely left public policy discussion, politics in general. On the assumption that you do agree, how do we get here and how do we climb out?
I don't entirely agree because I'm still here, and I engage in civil discourse with both my allies and my opponents, and I think that's the way that we solve our problems. But I will say that the tone of our politics has taken a very bad turn for the worse. We have a very polarized state government and federal government because of gerrymandering, which is a cancer on our politics. And I will work to fix that by ensuring that we have fair and competitive districts in Ohio again that put voters back at the center of the equation. I also think that, you know, we've seen too much corruption in government in Washington. We're seeing it now with all these convictions in the inner circle, and in Columbus, where we had that charter school scandal, where people should be sent up on criminal charges for stealing money from us taxpayers in Ohio, lots of money that could have gone to our schools to help our children. And we had a Speaker of the House resign over payday lending lobbyist scandals, where they traded fancy trips for bad legislation, and people could be charged 590% rates of interest for loans in Ohio, which doesn't help build anybody's future. It just ruins people's lives. So I think we need clean, honest government, and I don't think that's a Democrat or an independent or Republican issue. It's something we need to have in Columbus, and I will provide it just as I did after the CoinGate scandal 12 years ago and cleaned up the state's investments as state treasurer.
I doubt there's any time for much fun and enjoyment and personal relaxation during a campaign, but if you do have time, what do you and the family do for fun?
Well, with the family, we just spend time and enjoy one another and play a lot of games when we can. Not a lot, as you said, because of the demands of the campaign, but we enjoy doing that. When I get a chance for my exercise, I like to play basketball. I still like to play basketball even at my age, because for me, it's always been the most fun way to get my exercise and also to work with others on a team. I just enjoy that immensely.
So, did you ever take the president to the hole?
You know, I played at the White House, but he wasn't there that day. And later he told me he had hung up his sneakers, which I was depressed about because I'm not hanging my sneakers up anytime soon.
Well, you've got a minute and a half here to close out our show, and you've been very generous with your time. For Town Hall Ohio listeners across the state, why should they vote for Rich Cordray?
So I'm Rich Cordray, and I'm running for governor because I believe in public service in the state. I believe about what it does to raise the quality of life in our communities all over the state. I believe that leadership matters and how we solve problems by bringing people together matters. We see too much divisiveness and pitting people against one another and scapegoating and blaming coming from Washington. We don't need that in Ohio. That is not the Ohio way. The other thing I would say is I've shown throughout my time in public service that I'm willing to stand up to some of the most powerful special interests in our society on behalf of Ohioans. When I protected our pension systems against Wall Street and got back more than $2 billion from them, as the consumer chief in Washington, putting money back in the pockets of Americans and many Ohioans who were cheated or mistreated. And my opponent has shown that he is not willing to do that. Long career in the House, long career in the Senate, 42 years of politics for Mike DeWine, and he has stood with the special interests every step of the way. And I think that's a fundamental difference between us. Who do you stand up for? And who do you stand up to? And Rich Cordray will always stand up for Ohioans and make sure that our interests are advanced and that people can have an ear and have a voice and so that we can work together to solve our problems and bring everyone to the table and leave no one out, and most of all our agricultural community, which is so important to our lifestyle here in Ohio and our way of life.
Richard Cordray, the Democratic Party's candidate for Ohio governor. Many thanks to Mr. Cordray for making time to visit with our Town Hall Ohio audience. Mike DeWine from the Republican Party, our thanks to him for being here last week as well. And to all of the statewide candidates who took the time to sit in our studio, answer a few questions, and give you, our Town Hall Ohio listeners, a little bit of an opportunity to at least get a little bit more information before you make some pretty important decisions. It's been a pleasure to have all of those candidates along. It's always a pleasure to have you tune in. I'm Joe Corneli. We'll see you next week on more Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.